Good morning. It's a blessing to be here this morning, and good to see you out. As I said, it's a little bit early, but happy Thanksgiving. This afternoon we'll be having our Thanksgiving dinner out in the gymnasium as a church, and everyone is welcome. You may not have planned about it or known about it, but you're still welcome to stick around right after the message this morning. You know, today as we get into this message, we're kind of getting away from our series a little bit, and we're going to have a message concerning Thanksgiving. And as I begin this message, you know, one of the thoughts that came to my mind is that it's easy to be thankful when everything is going all right, but sometimes it's difficult to give thanks when we're tested or we're tried or when we're afflicted. Now, it's easy to pray when we're afflicted. I mean, we run to God and we seek His help, but sometimes it's difficult to give thanks unto God during those times. To begin with, I will say this, life can be difficult. Hope I didn't burst anyone's bubble on that. I think most of us know that there are going to be tests and trials, and even after we're saved, we're going to have difficulties. We're going to have some hardships that we have to deal with. But you know, reading through the Bible, we find that the Apostle Paul was always grateful. In his letters, he was always giving thanks. He was always thanking God or making mention of people and giving thanks to them or thanks for them. And I believe as we read through the epistles, we find that he gave thanks to God for salvation. He gave thanks to God for his companions. He gave thanks to God for the churches that he was able to start and the churches that he was able to encourage later. And the list goes on and on and on of all the things he was thankful for. But you know, if you read the book of Acts, you'll also find that his life was anything but easy. I mean, we're talking about a man who faced one trial after another. I mean, at one point he was taken out of a city or drug out of the city and left for dead. They assumed he had died. Some believe he actually did die and that God brought him back to life. Either way, he was beaten and left there outside the city limits. And that's just one example. I mean, he'd been shipwrecked, we believe, at least three or four times. And this man was always grateful unto God. You know, today I hope I can show you from the Scriptures that it's possible for believers to be grateful even in difficult times. It's possible to give thanks unto God even when we're afflicted. And that's the title of the message this morning, is Giving Thanks Though Afflicted. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 is where we're going to be this morning. Giving thanks though we're afflicted. Now we're going to be reading just one verse before we have a word of prayer. As we go through our message, we'll be going back and looking at some of the other passages in this chapter. But verse 35 of Acts chapter 27 says, "And when he had thus spoken," now this is speaking of Paul, "when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat." Dear Lord, we come to you thanking you for the blessings you've given to us. As we take a brief look at this passage, I pray you'll open up our hearts to your word. Holy Spirit, work this morning in the hearts of each one of us. Bible tells us that you're able to provide our needs. I pray today you'll provide our spiritual needs today. If there is one here this morning that requires encouragement or comfort, strength, peace, whatever it may be, please provide our needs today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to set the scene this morning because we're not doing a series. We haven't studied this chapter in any of our Bible classes recently. So I'm going to set the scene so we have the context of what's taking place and so we know what's happening. Paul was a prisoner bound for Rome. Now, he was innocent of the charges that were brought against him, but he was a prisoner bound for Rome. And they had set sail, according to Acts chapter 27, they set sail late in the year, and they arrived at the seaport there in the Mediterranean Sea on the island of Cyprus. Being late in the year, it was almost winter time, is what most believe, it was dangerous to continue, but the shipmaster chose to press on, despite Paul's advice. He chose to press on to another port. The Bible tells us that while they were on the sea, a great and violent wind overcame the ship. Considering the time of year, being late in the year, probably towards winter time, it's very likely that they experienced cold, wind, and possibly rain. Temperatures may have dropped, and the winter conditions may have set in. I imagine they were miserable, is what we find in this passage. Now, the ship was at the mercy of the storm. And the Bible tells us that the crew began to throw the cargo overboard because the ship was being tossed to and fro. And pretty much to save their own life, began to throw things overboard. You know, it's better to be poor without goods than to perish with your goods, What good are valuables when you can't have them and use them anymore on this earth? So they began to throw everything overboard. I think we find that the situation was hopeless. Here they are at the mercy of this storm. And the Bible tells us that Paul spoke up, and then he gave thanks and he prayed to God. All on board were encouraged because of Paul, and the ship continued to drift. Eventually land was seen. The crew got excited, but you know what happened? The crew decided, and this you'll find in this chapter here. I just don't want to take the time this morning to read all through it and explain it because for time's sake. But the crew abandoned ship. They prepared to abandon ship. They hatched a plot where they could save their own lives and they could leave the passengers and the prisoners behind. But that plot was found out, and eventually they had to stay as well, is what the Bible tells us. The men, Paul included, were probably tired. They were probably hungry. They were probably weak. I imagine they were discouraged. I imagine tempers were short. I imagine these men were, at their wit's end, having to deal with this. Some were probably ready to give up and quit. Some may have been furious at the weather. Some may have been mad at those that were trying to abandon and leave. All of their lives were endangered. And really, they were all completely out of control. And that's where we find this verse here. Right in the middle of this storm is where Paul gave thanks to God. Now, there was no end in sight as far as visible. They couldn't see when the storm would end. But Paul gave thanks to God. And I'm going to give you three reasons why I believe he was able to be thankful in the middle of that storm. And the first reason is Paul knew God's Word. Paul knew God's Word. Let's go back to we're in Acts 27. Notice verse 21. And this is Paul here. He says, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Then he says there, verse 25, Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. See, first, I believe the first reason why Paul was able to give thanks, as we look back at this passage, is that he knew God's Word. He knew God's Word. We find here that Paul, right in the middle of the storm, he stood up amongst these men. Now, they were, like I mentioned, they were hungry probably. Bible says that they hadn't eaten. That word abstinence, that's what it's referring to. They hadn't eaten for a long period of time. And by the way, I don't believe it was a religious ceremony. I believe that they were probably too busy trying to save their lives to eat. There was no use of sitting down and having a meal when they're trying to save their own lives. And so none of them had eaten for a while, fighting to save their lives. They were weak, tired, battling the storm. And Paul stood up and said, "Be of good cheer. Lift up your heads. Don't get down. Don't get discouraged. I have a message for you. You're not going to lose your lives. You're all going to live to tell about this trial." You know, it's fun to talk about trials afterwards. Not fun, but enjoyable to look back and say, "Yeah, look what God has done for me. God has got me through this difficult time. God has blessed me." But when we're in the middle of the trial, when we're in the middle of difficulty or having to face that difficulty, it's not quite as fun. I was reading a story about two boys years back looking at their grandpa's chest up in the attic. They had found it. They were going through it, and their grandpa had fought in the Civil War. And they were looking at this chest, and one of the boys pulled out this sword, and he pulled out and started swinging it around. And he looks, and he goes, "Every time I look at grandpa's stuff, I want to go fight." And the other boy sitting across the room says, "Well, why don't you go?" And the boy reached in, he pulls out this old wooden leg. He goes, "I remember what happened to grandpa." You see, it's easy to talk about trials afterwards, but when we're in the middle of the trial or in the middle of the difficulty, it is hard to give thanks. It is hard to really be faithful unto God because we're right in the middle of the hardship. And so Paul here in the middle of this looked at these men and said, "Lift up your heads. God has given me a promise. And that promise is not only am I going to live, but you're going to live as well." You see, Paul knew this because God had shared it with him. It wasn't something that he had just made up, something that he thought was nice to say to encourage these people. He didn't give them some false hope. He gave them hope from what God had told them. It was God's Word. Now, God's Word will strengthen us as we live down here. And I'm going to tell you this. If you go through a trial, and I imagine some of you already know this, When you go through a trial that just shakes your faith, when you have a tragedy that you have to deal with, there is nothing, nothing that can give you hope and strength like God's Word. I mean, you can have some good friends, some family members that are even wonderful to you, but to look upon the promises that God has given concerning life and death, victory over sin and hope and so forth, the Word of God strengthens us through trials and will provide the strength we need to go through difficult times. And that's all Paul did. He looked to these men and said, I have a message from God. None of us is going to die. Now the message, we've already looked at that real quick. Notice a few things concerning this message. First, the message was for Paul, but it concerned the entire crew. God planned to spare Paul. That's what God told him. That's what the angel of the Lord told Paul. God planned to spare his life. Paul was going to make it through this. Paul would make it to Rome. He would stand before Caesar and he would do all that God had planned for him. And by the way, God will not call you home till he's ready for you. And I truly believe that. I really believe that God has a plan for our life. I believe that when he's ready for you to be home with him, you're going to be home with him. You can't escape it. We can't get away from it. But likewise, that should encourage us to be faithful, knowing that no matter what happens, God's in control. Knowing that no matter what difficulty comes up, God will take care of us. But see, God planned to spare all of them too. Not just Paul, but he's planned to spare all. You know, this morning I want you to think on this. God is good. God is gracious. God did not have to do that. God could have said, I'm going to spare Paul, the rest of you. You sinners are on your own. But the Bible tells us God is gracious to all of us. You know, this morning the sun came up. It didn't come up just for those that believe on Christ. It came up for everyone. God allows all to enjoy many of his blessings. And even Paul, you think about this. Paul was spared, but because of Paul, and I would say this, by grace, not because anybody deserved it, but by grace, they all would live through this. You know, God often blesses the world through his children. Now, he's not going to save people through his children as far as you're here this morning. You're not going to be saved because your parents are saved. You're not going to be saved because your husband or your wife is saved or so forth. That's a personal relationship between you and God. But you may enjoy some blessings because someone you know is saved. I tell you what, I thank God every day for parents that raise their children in godly homes, that point them to God and say, look to God. And not just, we think of 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. How about when they become adults? Parents that continue to talk about God, serve God, worship God. And then as their children get older, you know what happens? Their children realize, hey, it was real. They didn't just tell me to go to church because they wanted to get me out of the way. But it's real to them. They love God. Even as I'm an adult, they continue to serve God. And they continue to follow after God. You see, that's an influence. That's a blessing. You know, God often blesses the world through his children. Now this message, if we go back to it, if you'll notice there, and we're in Acts chapter 27, it says there in verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Verse 25 says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told unto me. This message was given with a promise to Paul that he would stand before Caesar. Paul would live to see this happen, and Paul could continue without fear. And each one of them was promised to give or to move on with their life. Now, I'm going to give you some thoughts concerning afflictions. Today, of course, we're not on a ship. We don't have to deal with the same trial Paul deals with. But I believe whatever affliction or whatever hardship is in your life, if you're dealing with one right now, it's serious to you. You know, as a pastor, I never want to minimize anybody's difficulty. Because if it's in your life, it's real and it's a difficulty. And so this morning, if you are facing a trial or something has come into your life that you have to deal with, that you didn't plan on, that you didn't want, that you don't care for, but you still got to deal with it, I'm going to give you some thoughts concerning afflictions. First, the Bible tells us, and turn with me if you would to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We'll go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and this was written by Paul to the church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he's talking about afflictions. And verse 1 says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And then in verse 2 he sent Timotheus, that's Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, he says, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now before I read this next verse, I want you to understand, the church at Thessalonica was being persecuted. They were being afflicted. They had a lot of hardships they were dealing with. Now notice what it says in verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. This passage tells us that our afflictions are appointed. Does that sound odd? Kind of does at first when you think about it, but that's what the Bible teaches. That they're appointed unto us. Now this morning you think about that. An affliction in your life. Now I'm not saying God sent it. God does not send sin. I'm not saying that. But God has allowed it into your life. He's appointed it. Now when I say appointed, I believe the Bible is referring to years past. You know, God from the beginning of time knew exactly what you would need, knew exactly how to mold your life as the potter does the clay, knew exactly how to guide you and to direct you and prepare you. And He has allowed afflictions or certain trials to come into your life, and I believe they're for a reason. Now, secondly, we see first they're appointed. Secondly, they are temporary. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:17, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now, we often, when we talk about that, talk about souls, and that's true. You know, those that do the will of God abide forever, and those that choose to chase after the things of the world, they're going to leave the things of the world behind someday. And that's true. But I'm going to give you another thought on this. Do you realize you will leave your afflictions behind too? I don't know about you, but that makes me excited to get to heaven. Because there are a lot of difficulties that I'm ready to move on from. You think about health problems. You know, as we get older, we begin to walk slower. We begin to feel more aches and pains. I remember when I used to be able just to go out and run and play. And a long time ago. Now if I don't stretch, I guarantee the next day I'm not doing anything but walking around slow. You see, as we get older, our body begins to go the other way. And you think about this. When we get to heaven, those afflictions will be left behind as well. You see, we'll be given a new body, the Bible teaches, a glorified body. Anyway, I want to remind you this morning that your afflictions are temporary. You know, it's easy in the middle of a storm or in the middle of a trial to think it's never going to end. There's no end in sight. This morning, I encourage you. I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, but if you are facing a trial or a hardship, keep in mind that there'll come a day when you'll stand before God, you'll rejoice with the Lord, and I imagine you'll look back and say, you know what, it was worth it. That trial was nothing compared to the glory I'm having now with God. And you'll rejoice with the Lord forever. So it is temporary. And finally, real quick, the trials are for a purpose. Romans 8:28 says that God will work all things out for good to them that are called according to His purpose. You see, if God allows a trial into your life, you can be sure it's there for a reason. God has not missed it. First, understand that. God's not asleep in heaven and He hasn't missed what is happening in your life. God has not misplaced you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows what is happening in your life. Just like with Paul, God knew where Paul was. And God will allow things in your life for a reason. We may not even know the reason until we get to heaven. It may be to strengthen you, to encourage you, to prepare you for something else. I encourage you to understand that those afflictions are for a purpose. And you know, when we come to the understanding of those three things, it's possible. It is possible to give thanks when tested. Because we know God. And we know Him from His Word, what He says and tells us. Secondly, I believe Paul trusted God's Word. He knew God's Word, but he trusted God's Word. Notice what it says in verse 25. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer," he says, "for I believe God." I believe God. I think that says it all right there. He says, "I believe God." Now, imagine this scene for a minute. He's right there in the middle of the storm. And he stands up to these men and he tells them, "Guess what? I've seen an angel who has given me this message." Now, I'll tell you what, right there, most people will say, okay, you know, we're done. And then he says, you know what, we're going to live through this. Be of good cheer. Let's all lift up our heads and smile. And I imagine some may have said, I don't know. He's pretty, you know, happy and joyful for what's going on. And right in the middle of this storm, Paul says, he tells them this, and then he gives them the reason why. He says, "I believe God." That's what it came down to. He said, "I believe God." God, I ask you this question this morning. Who do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe God? Do you believe God's Word? That's what it came down to. Paul trusted God's Word. He had been given that message, and he trusted God's Word. Now think about this. God's Word was already good. God had already spared their lives up to this point. He had provided the first part of the promise. Also, He had sustained their life. As we'll see here in a minute, they were going to get ready to eat. He had allowed them to hold on to some of their provisions. You know, this morning, God is the source of life. In the beginning, God is what the Bible tells us. God is the creator of life. Also, God is the source of spiritual life today. If you're here this morning and you're saved, it's because of God, God's grace in your life. Now here this morning, there may be someone here that has never trusted in Christ, or if I talk about salvation, they may say, well, what's that? Bible teaches that we're sinners. We sin by actions, of course, but we also have a sinful nature, according to Romans chapter 8. And that because of that sin, we have been separated from God. I mean, God's on one side, we're here, and we can't make up that gap. You don't have enough money in this world to make up that gap. Even if God would put a price on it, there wouldn't be enough money to make up that gap. Even if God said you have to work your way, you wouldn't be able to do enough works to get to heaven. You can work your entire life, but your works will still come short of God's glory because of sin in our life. That's what it comes down to. So the problem of sin needs to be taken care of. And you know what God did? God said, I'm going to take care of that problem. And so He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin. For God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we talk about John 3:16 all of the time, or we quote it. And the reason why that is true is because Jesus Christ did come. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross in our place. He died for our sins. And if you trust in Christ this morning as your Savior, the Bible tells us you will be saved. That your sins will be forgiven and you can be saved. So this morning, you think about this. God was good to them. He had given them life. But God today is good to us because He has given us life. And He's also given us spiritual life. I thank God every day for life. And I also thank Him every day for my spiritual life, for saving my soul. Now, Paul encouraged these men because he believed that God would follow through with His Word. That's why he believed. You see, Paul did not struggle with God's Word. He believed. Paul did not doubt God. He didn't seek a sign saying, God, give me another sign. You know, today there are a lot of people looking for another sign. I'm going to tell you what, God has already given us His Word. It's right here. He's revealed it to us and He said, this is it. According to Hebrews chapter 1, there's not another prophet coming. We're not to have another word. The Son has been sent. He has died on the cross so we can be saved. And I tell you what, this morning, if you're looking for another sign, you're not going to find it. Everything we need is right here. God has given it to us. He's revealed it in His Word. It's important for us to read it and then apply it. You see, Paul was given God's Word and he trusted God's Word. You know, the problem today with many is unbelief. You know, that's why many people remain lost. They simply don't want to believe in God through Jesus Christ. They just don't want to believe. You know, and that's why many believers, I think, remain discouraged. They don't want to believe God can take care of their problems. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm guilty of that. I don't know how many times I've taken a problem to God just to pick it up and worry about it. It's hard to leave our problems with God sometimes. But we must come to the point where we trust that God will carry our burdens and He'll take care of us. Now, real quick, the trial was incomplete. What I mean by that is the storm was not finished. Paul was unaware of when it would end. God didn't tell him that. God didn't tell him, Paul's going to end here in a certain amount of days and you can be ready. Paul didn't know which island they'd be cast on. He didn't even know where they'd end up. He just knew God would take care of him. You see, God expected Paul to continue by faith in the word that he had. This morning, I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Can't even tell you what's going to happen this afternoon. Yes, we have some plans, we have some ideas and some things we're going to plan on doing, but nobody knows what's going to occur, only God. And you see, that's where we must walk by faith, and God has given us what we need to know so we can live by faith on a daily basis. Now, Paul did not have all the details, but he did have God's Word, and what he had, he trusted in. God's Word is true, by the way, and it's all that we have from Him, and I think it's all we need. You know what the Bible tells us? It tells us about ourselves. It tells us about God. Tells us how we can get things right, and then afterwards it tells us how we can live for God so it pleases Him. This morning I encourage you to read your Bible, and I believe it's possible to give thanks unto God if you trust His Word. Thirdly, real quick, Paul acted on God's Word. This is where we find the application. He acted on God's Word. And this takes us to verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. He thanked God and he prepared for the direction that God had for them. It was not if God will take care of us. It was when God is going to take care of us. You see, they needed to eat. Paul planned on going ashore. Paul planned on living to see Rome because God had told him so. And so Paul moved by faith. He acted like he trusted in God and he lived by faith. Let me ask you a question. What if Paul would have found a spot on the ship? Now, he probably could have. He probably could have went on the ship. He could have went back to where some of the cargo had been thrown out. And he could have curled up and he could have been dejected and he could have wept and he could have cried. And, And he could have been in despair. If he'd have done that, nobody would have believed him. Those men would have said, he was just giving us a line there trying to encourage us, but he don't mean it. You see, faith is seen through our works. That's what James was talking about. Faith is seen through our works, our actions. You see, if we believe in God, if we love God, what's the Bible tell us? If you love me, keep my commandments. We're not to keep his commandments to be saved. We're to keep his commandments because we love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's found in the book of John, chapter 15. You see, faith is seen through our works. This morning, if you appreciate God, give thanks to God. Not only with your life, but also with your words and your actions. Give thanks. Be appreciative of God. What we find is Paul led by example. You know, he didn't tell this message to these people and then go and hide. What the Bible tells us, he got the food out. They gave thanks unto God, and there they ate. He honored God, was thankful to God, and he led by example. The Bible tells us afterwards that they continued to lighten the ship and they prepared to go ashore. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know how things would play out, but they moved by faith. You see, God proved to be faithful. The Bible tells us that they all lived. And these men did what they could basically by faith. Now this morning, as we look at this passage or give you some things to think on, Acts 35 or 27 is the passage of Paul being taken to Rome. And really when you think about it, it was an act of faith for him to live and to continue with God. And it's possible to give God or thanks to God when afflicted if we act upon his word. I believe Paul was able to be grateful because he knew God's word, of course. He trusted God's word, and then he applied God's word to his life. This morning, if you want to be grateful, I encourage you to read God's word. Sometimes I think as believers, it's easy to become ungrateful because we forget how good God is. We forget what he's done for us, or what he's doing for us right now. You know, see, God's continuing to work in your life this morning. And I believe as we continue to study the word, it'll remind us how good God is, and then we can be grateful unto the Lord. Billy Sunday was an evangelist in the 1920s. A strong evangelist, powerful evangelist. Many lives were saved under his ministry. God blessed many of his messages and the preaching through him. And years after he was in heaven, after he had passed away, someone had taken one of his Bibles and they opened it up. And there on the flyleaf of his Bible was found what I'm going to read to you here in a few minutes. I usually don't read a lengthy illustration, but I think this applies here. So hope you follow along with me as I read this. It was written on his Bible. It says, 29 years ago, he says, with the Holy Spirit as my guide, I entered into the portico of Genesis. I walked down the corridor of the Old Testament art galleries where pictures of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Isaac, Jacob, and Daniel hung on the wall. I passed into the music room of Psalms where the Spirit sweeps the keyboard of nature until it seems that every reed and pipe in God's great organ responds to the harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. He says, I enter the chamber of Ecclesiastes, where the voice of the preacher is heard, and into the conservatory of Sharon and the lily of the valley, where the sweet spices filled and perfumed my life. I entered the business office of Proverbs, and on into the observatory of the prophets, where I saw telescopes of various sizes pointing to far-off events, concentrating on the bright and morning star, which was to rise above the moonlit hills of Judea for our salvation and redemption. He says, I entered the audience room of the King of Kings, catching a vision written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, thence into the correspondence room with Paul, Peter, James, and John, writing the epistles. I stepped into the throne room of Revelation, where tower the glittering peaks, where sits the King of Kings upon his throne of glory, with the healing of the nations in his hands. And then he says this. He says, I cried out, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth a royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. In one of Billy Sunday's biographies, it was said, for those that are familiar with Billy Sunday, before he went into the ministry, he was a professional baseball player. And before he went into the ministry, before he was saved and surrendered to go into the ministry, it was said that he, like many, could care less about reading. He would read stuff if he had to. He said by the time his ministry was over, he said he had books that he had read through. They said when he went into the ministry, the Bible was his favorite book, and he wanted to know as much about it as he possibly could. This morning, as we end this message, I'm going to give a thought to you. And I believe this is from my own personal life and what I've seen with others. If we know God's Word through reading it and studying it, if we trust God's Word, and if we apply God's Word, we're going to give thanks unto God. The more you read the Bible, the more you're just going to be grateful for what God has given unto you, for what God has blessed you with, for what He's doing for you now in heaven, and what He's preparing for you, and all the things He has for you. And I believe the more we know the Bible, it's just going to, we won't be able to help ourselves but to give thanks unto God. This morning, I ask you, are you able to give thanks unto God? Do you desire to give thanks unto God? Now, if this morning, as you're sitting there, if there's just really no inkling in your heart to thank God, it's probably one of two reasons. The first is the obvious. It's because you don't belong to God. Anybody who's never been saved is going to have no desire to live for God or please God or anything else with God to begin with. And if that's the case here this morning, that can be settled. You can trust in Christ as your Savior. You can belong to God and you can have a relationship with God. The second reason is perhaps, maybe you've gotten out of God's Word. And that happens to all of us. You know, it's easy to get caught up with things in our life, whether it's at work, school, whatever it may be. And we can set aside the Scriptures, and the next thing you know, we're no longer reading the Word. We're no longer seeing the blessings that God has for us. And then it's easy to become, I don't want to say ungrateful, but we just don't think about giving thanks because we're just not familiar with how good God is to us. You see, it's natural for us to give thanks when we know someone has been kind to us. This morning, I handed out some pens. I think everybody said thank you when we gave them out. You see, it's natural for us when someone gives us something or is kind to us, it's almost natural to say thank you. You see, if we fail to read God's Word, it's easy for us to forget how good He is and all that He's done. As we read God's Word, then we become grateful, thankful. So I encourage you this morning as believers to continue studying and reading the Bible. So that way you can be encouraged to be grateful to God. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the passage. I thank You for the testimony of Paul and his willingness to give You thanks during the middle of his trial. This morning, Lord, if there's someone here who is afflicted, someone who is going through a difficult time, I pray this message was a blessing to them, an encouragement to them. And I pray today they'll be able to give You thanks. Thanks for guiding their life. Thanks for saving their soul. And thanks for just being their God. As we have this time of invitation, I pray that you, if you have worked in anyone's heart, I pray they'll get any matter settled with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for a few minutes. As the piano begins to play this morning, if God has worked in your heart, this is just an opportunity for you to seek God in prayer. You're welcome to come down to these altars and pray down here if you would like to, or encourage you to pray right where you are. If God has worked in your heart in any way, perhaps this morning you just want to give thanks to God. Maybe you're grateful for your salvation. You want to thank Him for your salvation this morning. Maybe you're grateful this morning for your family. God has blessed you with a wonderful family, spouse, children, parents, whatever it may be. You want to give thanks to God for them. Maybe for this church. Whatever it is, I encourage you to seek God out in prayer.